I had a ghost interrupt a little bit of a sexy session.
Oh.
Yeah. Like literally mid thrust. Oh.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Goddess Hangs.
Episode 92.
Woo! I'm Sadie.
And I'm Juliet.
And we have... Oh, sorry.
Obviously.
I messed it up. And we have a very special guest today. We haven't had a guest in a long time, so we had to go big for our first guest back in months and months. We have my good friend, Steffi. She's a psychic medium and astrologer and the podcast host of Psychic Scoop. And we're so excited you're here.
Same. Hello. Yay. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here.
Heck yeah.
So let's tell everyone how we met because it's kind of a funny story. I mean, I've talked about you. I always say, like, my friend Steffi said stuff that you say on your Instagram story. So people might recognize the name. But how did you come across me? And we'll tell the story of, like, how we met because it's kind of funny.
Yeah. Basically, one of my best friends was listening to you on a podcast and was like, you need this girl on your podcast. And I was looking for a witch. I was putting it out there. I was looking for not only a witch, but like a cool witch that I could hang with, right?
Yes.
Goddess Hangs here. It's full circle. But then I asked you to be on the podcast. You responded immediately, like within seconds, which you're Virgo, so now it makes sense.
Yeah.
Very punctual.
My emails have no unreads ever.
And then we went on the podcast. And then, I don't know, you want to take it?
We'll pass the baton. So we were on Zoom. I was sitting in this very chair, I believe. We were on Zoom and I think we chatted for like an hour and a half. We get off Zoom and Steffi does, first of all, this amazing medium reading, connects to my mom after we were done recording. She was telling me, like, I had forgotten about my cool childhood bedroom. She was describing how it was painted pink with clouds and all of this stuff. It was so cool and it was so special. But then Steffi was like, oh, so you live in LA? And I was like, yeah. Oh, actually, you know, I live in, you know, I said the small town that we live by. And Steffi was like, wait, that's where I live. And we realized we were basically freaking neighbors. We live like 7 minutes apart.
It was literally 7 minutes.
We hit it off immediately chatting on Zoom. And then we were like, well, fuck, we have to hang out.
Yeah. And here we are.
And we've been friends.
And then I got to meet Juliet, who I also love and adore.
Aww.
So this was perfect.
Well, right back at you. And we met at Sadie's Disco Cowgirl birthday.
Yes.
And I told a brief story about how you gave a spot on reading to one of my friends that was at this party.
It's a fun little party trick.
It truly is.
I try not to read people without their consent, but yeah, it's so hard sometimes. Also, because I get really socially anxious sometimes, it's just like spirit talks louder than I can hear.
Yeah.
So I was just like immediately said, what was it, your best friend's ex-boyfriend's name?
Mm-hmm.
And then we blocked him that night. So it was good.
We did.
It was a big moment.
We collectively blocked him.
Spirit did. It wasn't us.
But yay, we're so happy to have you here. And I don't know your whole backstory and how you grew up and your experience being a psychic and a medium. And I just want to know everything. So take us through the beginnings of Steffi.
Ooh, okay. Grew up in Michigan, Midwest.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like Sadie.
Yes, yeah. I know. Yeah, another weird
so many
coincidence.
Similarities. Yeah.
We realized that. Steffi, Sadie, Midwest.
We met our partners around the same time.
We both are legally blind in our eyes.
Yep, that's a new one we figured out.
Anyway, more we'll discover during... We're really outing our shadows here. Grew up in Michigan, which isn't the most, you know, progressive spiritually, but mm-hmm. also was where I cultivated a lot of my gifts growing up. And it wasn't until I was about like 13... I was always knew I had something going on because I would say something to people, you know, oh, like grandma was here or this and that. And, you know, my parents' face would just be like white. Like, how did you know that?
You were a spooky kid.
Right. But they would kind of write it off like, oh, she overheard us on the phone or things like that. But even teachers, I would say things. And I was just always kind of a little bit of a weirdo and still am, you know.
We love that.
Yeah, own the weirdness. But then I was like, okay, I'm going to lean into this a little more. But it wasn't until I was 14 years old and there was a spirit that was haunting my house. And it was 2 weeks of crazy activity. And it wasn't until I brought it up to my parents and I was like, there is a woman who has been visiting me every night. And my dad was like, I've seen her too.
Wow.
So it wasn't until that. And then we both had a little bit of a shared experience. That was the only time I really felt kind of seen. And then I ended up crossing her over. And that kind of started my mediumship abilities. And then when I was 18, I got a little palm reading. You guys have those like high school parties where they're like sending you off into the world. Did you guys ever have that? Like all night parties?
Yeah. We had an all nighter like after graduation.
Right. Did you have any of those either?
No.
We had a magician come to ours.
Yeah, they're like hypnotists. It's like totally out of control.
We stayed all night at our high school.
Yeah. Okay. So it was something like that. And someone gave
maybe
me
it's a Midwest thing.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, they had a hypnotist.
Okay. Oh, like for grad night, there was the option to like go stay all night at Disneyland.
Oh, wow, that's so
way
fun.
Cooler.
Yeah, we had a magician from Craigslist.
But honestly, yours sounds more fun. I didn't go because I was kind of like, I don't want to be out that late. Like, I was kind of a cranky little teenager. I would have preferred the magician or the hypnotist, for sure.
Maybe we should recreate that. Okay.
Okay, go on.
But there was a palm reader there, and I was so intrigued, you know, being this, like, closeted psychic. And so I went up to her, and I mean, bless her, but she read my palm and was like, there's a transition coming. I was like, well, duh, like I'm graduating high school. And I just felt like it was
no
a little
shit.
Right. I felt like it was very lackluster.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, again, like this is great, but not what I would do. And so I started learning palmistry. And then when I moved to college, I had a little bit of a fresh slate. No one knew me. And so I'd be in parties and I'd be like, let me read your palm. Again, like not asking consent, which I know now is like psychic, not ethical, whatever. But then I was like, okay, let's read your palm. And the second I started like grabbing someone's palm and reading it, sorry, I like to do examples, I would feel I would feel their hand and I would start getting these hits, like intuitive hits, just by touching them. And then it wasn't until, you know, I started making this girl cry because I was talking about how she was diagnosed with cancer at a young age and and she overcame it and her parents got divorced when she was 5. And she's looking up at me like, this is all in my palm. And I'm like, yeah, totally. And then I went home and I was like, that wasn't in her palm. Right.
Yeah, right.
So then I started just channeling. I saw a lot of ghost activity and then I was freaked out by that. And I told Spirit, hey, if this is like a gift I'm going to have, like, I don't want to see you anymore. So then I kind of switched my gifts a little bit to only be able to hear them. And I also wanted to just channel spirits that were, you know, crossed over and not in a little bit of a spiritual limbo. So I just kind of started doing it that way and started stopping people on the streets, grocery stores, anything, just giving mediumship readings. And then I moved to LA and then kept doing it.
Oh my gosh. So you mentioned you helped a spirit cross over. Mm-hmm. What is that like? I've never done that. So what is that process like?
Well, it's so different now, what I know, and then being 14, because it's just, you know, I was so terrified. But it was really interesting because every single night when I would go to bed, I would hear this classical music playing and it was so loud. I'm going to date myself here, but I would go and grab my little like Walkman, my little CD player.
Yeah.
And I would be like, is it coming from there? But it was classical music and it wasn't anything I'd ever like heard before.
Yeah.
And then I think it was like the fourth or fifth night. It was so loud. It was in my room and the sheets were blowing. I mean, it wasn't until, and it was freezing, and then it wasn't until I felt these like little bony fingers running up my spine.
Ah.
I know. And then I came up from my sheets and she was hovering over me like
oh,
this.
Oh my God.
I have more questions.
So, this is my worst nightmare.
I know.
So when
she
was,
you say were 14.
She was hovering,
I know.
Was it like you saw it with your eyes, you saw it in your mind's eye? Was she transparent? Was she like, what did that look like?
Yeah. Totally great questions. She was, I could like close my eyes and see it. She totally looked like you and me, but a little bit more transparent, I guess you could say a little bit through her, but she was wearing full clothes. I think the only thing was like half of her body was kind of like not there. It was just like her upper half. which is wild. And she was wearing like the classic like nightgown, which is crazy because then my dad had an experience with the nightgown later. But yeah, I mean, and then she kept on visiting me, and then it wasn't until I had the courage to ask my family what happened. And then my mom's like, you know, she used to be a classical pianist. And I was like, who are you talking about? And they're like, the girl who lived next door. And then we realized my dad went over to her house because she had passed away, and they went to her house, and she was actually like a hermit, and she had pizza boxes in the kitchen for months, and there was like feces on the wall. And we found out that she had like taken her own life. So my dad, went into her closet and then opened it up, and there was a single nightgown there, and he stared at it, and the nightgown jumped at him. And he said, like, she was behind, like, he saw her face behind the nightgown. So, yeah, terrifying. But anyway, we found out it was the lady next door. So then I started researching her life. Classical pianist. She was a widow. I kind of went into, like, Nancy Drew. I was, like, at the library. I was asking people in the neighborhood. And then once I started to understand who she was, I crossed her over using the names of her loved ones and said, go towards them. I'm getting chills.
After this, I'm just going to be an actual goose because I've had goosebumps this entire time. I'm just going to be sitting here like a plump little goose, just like...
That was great. But yeah, so I started using those things in her life to remind her of her soul, because she was a little lost. And then I brought like physical light in, which I don't think I would do anymore. I was turning on the lights and stuff like that. And then I just felt her presence gone. And then, you know, within a few days, like she was, or 2 weeks, I guess, it was a 2 week marathon, she was successfully crossed over.
What was her first name?
You know what? I don't remember, which is awful. But gosh, it was so long ago.
No, that's okay though, because it means, you know, she took her essence with her.
Yeah, you know what? I've thought about like going back and kind of like recalling some parts of her life and to honor her, and she meant so much to me because it like started my mediumship journey. So great question.
Wow, that. Are you writing a book about all of these stories? Because I'm ready to read it. I know I'm sitting here listening to it, but
yes.
Wow. I love that you said, like, my like little kid heart lit up when you're like, I was Nancy Drewing, because I've read all of the Nancy Drew and then the Hardy Boys, and then they had the crossover books that were Nancy Drew and Hardy Boys, and I just wanted to be a little detective so bad. So like, I'm just picturing you around the neighborhood like with your bike, like going to the library and the old newspapers, and oh my gosh,
exactly what I did. I didn't have a license, so I was riding my bike, spot on.
Oh my god,
yeah,
I can see it all.
Did anybody play the Nancy Drew computer games?
No.
Okay, we're gonna get an old computer.
We still gotta play Oregon Trail too.
Oh, that's
Oregon
a classic. Trail.
The Nancy Drew computer games are fun. I revisited them in my early 20s and they were very fun.
I had a Madeline one. Do you remember Madeline?
Yeah, I
had a Madeline one that was really fun. That's when I played over and over.
Oh my gosh,
Madeline was so brave.
She'd go out. You went all over the world and you had to find the clues.
And then cultural lady, I love it.
It was very fun. So tell us more ghost stories. Okay, you said how you cross over someone now versus that when you were 14 years old looks different. So how is it different now? Like, you right before we sat down, you said this is why I love grabbing a coffee or lunch with Steffi, because she's like, ugh, on the way here I had to cross over a spirit really quick, and she's like just so casual.
Oh yeah,
about
tell us that story.
So tell us the story that I said, stop, save it for the podcast.
Hi, gorgeous witch. We'll get right back to our amazing interview with Steffi in just a moment. Isn't she the best? But first, we have a very exciting announcement to share. Our most transformative program for witches ready to claim their inner magic and radically transform their lives is back, and it's bigger and better than ever before. Yes, that's right. Activate Your Magic is opening its doors this September. And this time, Sadie and I are teaching it together. Are you ready to step into your inner witch, to live life led by your intuition and desires, to embrace your inner power and manifest with purpose? Are you ready to spend 9 powerful weeks with a group of witches dedicated to creating magic and fulfillment in their lives? Are you lit up at the thought of working closely with us and diving deep into our witchy world where you get to be exactly who you want to be? If so, Activate Your Magic was created for you. Join the waitlist today and you will receive a juicy discount on the program. Plus, we'll send you this Empowered Witch workbook for free. It has journal prompts and energy shifting meditation, links to our most favorite Goddess Hangs episodes, and all the info about Activate Your Magic. And remember, only waitlist babes get this big discount, so make sure you join this waitlist. The link to join is in our show notes if you're listening and in the description if you're watching on YouTube. And of course, you can always reach out to us if you have any questions about Activate Your Magic. Sending you so much love, and back to the show.
I know, you're both like, stop. Your eyes got wide. Recording again. Well, this is recent. I have to say, I don't mess with ghosts that often.
Yeah.
And I will say I have better boundaries. So I think that's why it's a little different now that I'm older and have like a actual practice. Mm-hmm. I'm able to know when I'm kind of being, this is a weird word, penetrated or like, my, yeah, I don't know why I said that. When my soul is being,
I would
like,
hope you would know when that's happening.
When my soul is being kind of bothered by a spirit, and mm-hmm. it will only happen when I'm at a lower frequency. Mm-hmm. So when I'm either not having a sleep, or I'm like too much coffee in, maybe I'm doing some toxic or low self-worth behaviors. Mm. And when I look back at the time when I was 14, I did live in an abusive household, so there was a lot of stuff going on there. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, last week I was on a job for like 4 or 5 days, and I was waking up at like 5 a.m. every morning. And we went to a historical theater in Los Angeles. And the second I walked in there, I was like, oh gosh, there she is. Like, this woman like just darted at me. And she was 29. She like had died in the theater of some weird blood disease, which I never knew. But she told me she died in like 1910 or something, because I asked her if like she'd seen the Titanic yet, and she's like, what? I'm like, I'm a millennial, we got references, we need to get on the same page. But she was really bitter because we were in there shooting a commercial, and she had wanted to be an actress, and it was like she was an angry spirit. Mm-hmm. And I tried to talk to her and like kind of like compromise with her in some way, like, hey, you can stay here, but I also think we should find this other place. And then I went to the bathroom in the basement, and this like toilet was like flushing, and she was turning on and off the lights. I was like, oh, I pissed her off further, you know.
And then were you posting that on your story?
Yeah, did you see that through, the toilet thing?
Yeah, it was just continually running, like really aggressively, like flushing,
like she was not happy. And then I felt bad because the maintenance guy was in there, and I didn't have the heart to tell him like this was my fault.
Hey man, it's a ghost. Like, sorry. I pissed her off. My bad.
I know. But I'm usually really good about protecting my energy before I leave the house and cleansing. And I just didn't do that. Like, I just mm-hmm. woke up and left, and I was a little sloppy, and I could tell my boundary was down already. So mm-hmm. then I got into my car, and I'm on the way home, and I feel her. I was like, oh my gosh, I totally forgot. And also, sorry, I forgot to say, as I was walking downtown, we were with a group of people without security. Our security was behind us, and they were like, just go ahead. And this person walked up to me and was like growling at me, and he's like, you in the green dress, even though it was like 20 of us. He went up to me, started to grab me, and I was like, okay, I'm attracting this, right? This is my fault. So then I got into the car, and I was like decompressing from the day. And there are some areas of we can talk about this, but there's some areas of Los Angeles I try not to go to because of the energy portals. Yeah. I'm sure you both already feel and know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I got in the car and I was like, are you with me? And then all of a sudden the display on my screen was just starts like almost, you know, Wingdings, the font. Uh-huh. It was like in wind. It was nothing was like legible. And
oh
I was
God.
Like, you're
oh my
here.
God. Wingdings,
and I was like, also, like, do you like my air-conditioned Mazda over the historic theater? Like, I feel like my place isn't the place to be. And then I was like, okay, do you want to talk to me? And then my volume went up and my music went up. And then I just said, hey, you can't follow me home. Like, this is not okay. And then I talked to her a little bit, stopped the car. And sure enough, she kind of left. And I mean, hopefully she's at peace.
Yeah.
But I made sure she didn't go into the house with me. I was like, you're not allowed to follow me home.
So. Yeah.
I wonder if we don't have to do it, but like, I bet if the three of us wrote down like the same three places that we wouldn't want to spend time in. Cause as beautiful as downtown Los Angeles
is,
downtown. I can't be there. Mm-hmm. And it truly has nothing to do with
like the homelessness crisis, because that's truly everywhere in LA. It's there's something in the air there mm-hmm. that freaks me out, and I feel like there's a literal like whoosh, like this bubble that builds over it, and I get very anxious when I'm down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, downtown.
Is that one of the spots?
It is.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Ding ding.
Yep, absolutely. There's more darker energies in per capita, I would say, in downtown LA. And there actually was a lady who performed, I don't know her name off the top of my head, but I heard her on a podcast. She does exorcisms, and she says like the highest rate is in downtown LA.
Mm-hmm. Like in the country?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm never comfortable there. I mean, we did a great shoot there recently, but I was ready to leave.
Yeah, but I like it to like do a rooftop drink, but like other than that, I don't think, mm-hmm. yeah, which is crazy because I'm there all the time for work.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I always feel just like, I'm like, always, like when I'm walking down the street, it's broad daylight, nothing's going on, but I'm just like, kind of like wiggly and like I just like feel like I have to like look around and watch my back and like nothing's going on, you know, it's like, but you just feel not good there,
not okay.
There's certain little corners too of Hollywood.
Yep, that's uh-huh. the second.
Yeah,
actually Hollywood's sometimes worse for me than DTLA, but I guess it depends on the day.
You know what corner always gets me? When you drive past Hollywood High School.
Yes, yes.
What the heck is that about?
I don't know. There's a portal there. There's something. It's very interesting.
Well, we said the same places.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah.
Well, there's interesting sort of like conspiracy theories, you know, we're not going to get into them, but just of like, you know, the like high echelons of Hollywood, like of the people that run Hollywood, and that it's not an accident that Hollywood exists where it exists because of these portals and using these portals as ways to gain power. So it's very interesting, and I don't know enough about it, and I don't want to get into it today without knowing more, but I've seen interesting sort of, you know, conspiracy theories about this, but it's interesting because the portals are there and they do exist.
So, I didn't even know. I felt portals, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very, ooh, very lighthearted start to the combo.
Yeah.
Love it.
Oh my gosh.
So, okay. I want to hear. Oh, this is like a funny thing. I wanted to see if we could relate on this. Do you ever do, and I'm sure the answer is yes, do you ever do a medium reading and you give so much incredible information and they're like, but you didn't mention the teapot. And how annoying is that?
Yes.
I did a reading this week. I got the guy's first name. I got the way that he passed. I got so many details. And she goes, I really thought you would have mentioned the possum.
The possum?
And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. It was the name and everything else not detailed enough? And so what are your thoughts about that? Like, as a medium, you know, when a person's like, I hope they mention this thing, why does that not come through sometimes? Or does it, you know, like, chat about that.
It's just so, first of all, that's incredible that you're able to get someone's name, because I think a lot of psychics, that is difficult for them. I think it's hard, for what I try to tell my clients too, is that I'm just a messenger trying to, and you probably understand, like, interpreting a message. So, you know, I have a little dictionary with spirit. Like, there are certain mm-hmm. things they show me, and that's what it means. Like, if someone is jumping up and down on the other side, it means they couldn't walk later in their life. Or if they're showing me a buffet, it means they couldn't eat. Or if they're, this is my favorite one, if they're like in a pink convertible on PCH, like driving away, it's like it means that they're free, right? There's like certain things. Yeah. So not only are they telling me random things like, oh, possum, it's like, what, that makes no sense to me. You have to interpret it and then give it to someone else. So it's difficult when someone comes in already trying to control the session and they're not necessarily open. Mm-hmm. That energy is already kind of closing you off to spirit in a way, because you can't control what comes through, and you also mm-hmm. can't control the message. It's mm-hmm. like the Rolling Stones song, right? It's like, you can't get what you want. What is it? Hold on.
You can't get what you want.
Always get what you want. You get what you need. Right.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I like to tell people. But I've actually been to a few psychic mediums that say that at the beginning, like, don't, whatever you said to spirit, like, if I know this is you, say the teapot or whatever. She's like, that's not going to happen. So, yeah, you can set your boundaries.
I'll have to add that disclaimer.
Right. It's crazy. It's like, I said every single thing.
But I didn't say the possum.
Right.
I didn't say the possum. That was, I wanted to, you know, chit chat about that. And we did. That was on my list. What else?
I always like when I used to do readings like on video and they would be deadpan the whole time and I was like, oh, I did a terrible job, and then they'd email me and be like, that was the most amazing thing, you said this and this and it was all right. I'm like, why didn't you tell me that? I was sweating and like thought I thought I was doing a terrible job. That's why I couldn't do video chat readings anymore. Yeah. The pressure was too much.
Well, you get in your head too if you're saying something and it's really on and then all of a sudden it's like, nope. And then you kind of get in your head and that's when your human ego gets in the
darts
way.
In.
Yeah, but I kind of understood how my mediumship works because I used to stop people all the time, right? And this was before I was started charging people for money, because I always thought, oh, if I have these gifts, I don't want to charge people for money. But I was getting sick all the time because it wasn't really an energy exchange, right? Mm-hmm. But this one guy in particular, I remember I was actually working with him and I said, is your uncle passed? He's like, yeah. And like, I was like, pretty recently. He's like, yeah, like last week. I said, did he do a hot dog eating contest? And he's like, absolutely not. No. Like, he was like, I come from a Latin family. Like, we do a lot of Latin food. Like, there's no way he would be eating a hot dog. And I was like, I'm so sorry. That was so... And I'm like, sorry to bring up beer. But I still knew about the uncle, right? But I was like, I'm sorry to bring this up. And he was like, so closed off. And sure enough, he got my Instagram. And then 7 or 8 months later, he reached out to me. He's like, my uncle was a hot dog eating champion. And he competed in contests. He's like, but no one knew in the family. Like, it was something he did in like college or something.
Oh my god!
So again, it's like, even if you don't understand what they're saying, you talk to your family, they validate it.
Yeah.
The message is always clear, just not exactly like in that exact moment, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it's really common to have like, when you're the one receiving a reading, like you get like amnesia.
Totally, that happens every single
and that, yeah, everyone sessions. Gets that. I get it when I'm in getting read. I'm like, nope, I have no idea. And then 30 seconds after we hang up, I'm like, oh wait, that's like one of the most important people in my life they were referring to. I'm like, I remember my first reading ever. I was like, no, I have no idea. I can't think of that. And then I was like, that was my boyfriend at the time. Like literally his first name. Like I was just like, it's just so funny how as when you're receiving the reading, you're also kind of under pressure and you're like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it all ends up connecting.
Yep.
That happens
all the time, too.
Yeah.
You mentioned having the ego come up, and I know we have a good number of babes in our community who love doing readings and are developing those skills, and they struggle, I think as we all do, with that ego voice coming in saying, this is all in your head, you're making this up. Could you share your experience with that or any advice you have?
I think, yeah, absolutely. I'm thinking about how when I was practicing, because there was no pressure, I felt a little more confident. So I always tell people just to start practicing with people that love you and accept you. And just, you know, have a few girlfriends over and make it fun. Light some candles and put out the tarot cards and just have fun with it. And each one of you take turns practicing with people you love. And then honestly, there's no stakes. Like if you say something to someone and I'm like, hey, is your uncle dead? And they're like, no. It's like, okay, whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. For me, I had to be comfortable with who I was. And I have had enough people confirm that what I'm saying is real. So I have to just continue to go with my gut. But it like unlearning the ego is like a whole lifetime process. Mm-hmm. Really.
Oh yeah.
So that's kind of an intricate question to answer. But
I love that. I love what you said though, because I think people feel like they need to just go straight into professionalism with it. And it's like, no, you can like practice and you can build it up and get comfortable and there's no rush.
Absolutely. And like you can even have like a guidebook. Like if you're starting to do tarot, it's super intricate and it's complex and there's all this symbolism. And you can just say, hey, like, you know, it's donation based only. I have my guidebook. Like, let's have a conversation. And, you know, that can also be, you can do a sliding scale, whatever. But I think practice does really help. Also, just feeling comfortable with your delivery. Sometimes as a young psychic or a young intuitive, you don't really know what your gifts are. You know, are you clairaudient? Are you clairsentient? Like, how are you delivering the message? So that's also a good thing to know when you're like diving into given readings.
Yeah. Yeah. Understanding the way you receive the information is huge.
Totally. Absolutely.
So tell us more ghost stories. Okay. I want to ask you, like, what is like maybe like a funny one or like your favorite one that was sort of like a more lighthearted situation or like
you were, immediately
like,
know.
Okay, like a, yeah,
tell don't us. Say anything else. Well, it is juicy.
Ooh.
Oh wait, I think I remember this.
Did,
one.
Did, I think I know told what you're you this. Say.
Oh my okay, god. Okay, I don't know this one.
Okay, good. So I had a ghost interrupt a little bit of a sexy session.
Oh
yeah, like literally mid thrust. Oh. I had yeah it was a ghost and he was in the closet staring at us, and then it got to the point where, again, this is graphic, but I like got, you know, flipped over a little bit, and then I was like eye to eye staring at the freaking dude.
While this is beginning to happen, you first lock eyes with this ghost.
Yeah,
what are the thoughts? Are you like, do I say something to like my partner? Like, are you like, babe, hold on, there's a ghost in the room? Is the person you're with know that you see ghosts? Like, tell us.
Yeah,
the so, environment here.
So it wasn't early on date. Like, I think we only really dated for, I think it was like 6 months, but this was early on. So yeah, he knew I had mediumship abilities, but not to that extent. Oh, I just panicked and obviously like took me out immediately. And then I'm pretty sure we finished, something happened, I don't remember. And then I had to tell him because he's like, you're acting really weird. And I was like, I just have to tell you. And then I was like, is there a lady downstairs that lives with her daughter? He's like, yes. I was like, right below you? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, did the husband recently die? He's like, how did you know that? I was like, he's here and he has a message for the daughter. And he was like, oh my gosh, seriously? And then I was like, but here's the thing, he has to go because he's in the closet staring at me. And it was almost creepy. He was sweet, but he was creepy. But also there was a language barrier because he was speaking Spanish to me, which I also, usually I telepathically talk to spirit.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit of he was really trying to communicate with me any way he could. And so I told the dude I was dating, and he started speaking in Spanish out loud to him. And we were trying to have like a little bit of a seance. And then I think eventually I like left. I like dipped out of there quick. And then he ended up like telling the daughter the message. So I think it did come full circle. So the job was, you know, to completion in both ways.
Everybody got what they needed.
Yeah,
that night.
Yeah, except me.
He was like, I will just wait in this closet until you are done, and then we will talk.
Yeah. So you could hear the Spanish and you could repeat the Spanish to the guy you were seeing?
No. So the thing that got me the most is he kept on being like, señorita, señorita. And he said it a few times. So I looked up and saw him. And then I said, I don't understand what he's saying to me. And then I said to the dude I was dating, hey, like, can you tell him this? So he was the translator. Yeah, and I've dated a lot of dudes in LA, and I feel like a lot of people would not be down for that. So I actually...
But this guy was just like, yeah, sure, babe, yeah, tell me what to say.
And I gave him, like, I think I dated him for, like, 5 months more than I should have, because that experience was very heartwarming, so...
Yeah. Oh, he was very accepting.
Yes, which is...
We love that.
Hilarious. Wow, I don't know what I would do if I saw a ghost in my closet. I think I would just have to... stop. Kudos for being able to keep going. Good for you.
There's an award out there somewhere.
There's an award out there somewhere for something like that.
Oh man.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That's one of the lighthearted ones, I guess you could say.
Wow. What are your other favorite ghost stories?
Well, like,
I just want to keep hearing more ghost stories.
Well, the thing is, like I said, because I try to vibrate at a little bit of a higher frequency. I don't see as many ghosts as I would like to. I don't communicate with that many ghosts anymore.
Yeah.
But, you know, for a while there, I was seeing them all the time, like Sixth Sense style. Like, I mean, you know, in a grocery store or at a bank, you know, they're just walking through like willy-nilly, like, hey, what's up?
They're just ghosts wandering around everywhere.
Literally everywhere. But a lot of them don't, like, mind you being there or don't care if you're, you know, sometimes they don't know they're dead, other times they do, other times they try to communicate. So there's like different layers of ghosts. Like if there's a poltergeist, that's a little bit more of like a noisy ghost is a little definition of it. But those ghosts are a little more aggressive. And
have you seen the movie? That one scared me when I was little, Poltergeist.
No, but oh, I'll tell you a good story though. I got another one in my little pocket.
Yes.
Okay, so you know The Conjuring?
Yeah.
Do you know that movie?
I know the movie. I haven't watched it because I'm too scared.
I know of it, yeah.
Okay, so there's this like ghost, Annabelle, whatever. Yeah. So because I live in LA, I did a lot of it's body doubling. So I would go in for the actress if there was like a scene, and they needed a scene in The Conjuring 2, and my agent called me in for this. So I went to set, and before I went to set, I kind of just protected myself, but I really wanted the gig because we would go to London and all this stuff. Mm. And it was for really intricate scenes where she's looking at herself in the mirror, and I was going to be basically her double, but they were going to CGI her face on mine. It was a weird thing, but I don't even know if this made the final cut, but her face like turns demonic or something. I never watched the movie because of this reason.
Yeah, but, I can't watch.
But when I got there, the lot was fine. The second I walked on the set, it was just like two dark figures were following me at all times. And I just felt horribly sick, like labored my breathing, everything. And everyone was so mean to me. I couldn't believe some of the things they said to me, like shaming me for the way I looked and all of this crazy thing. Crazy. Like, I'm here to help you with your job. Like, why are you talking about that?
Yeah.
So I go upstairs and I get a call from the agent. They're like, oh, they love you. You booked it. I was like, that's weird. And then I just said out loud to Spirit, hey, do I need to be protected from this? Like, let me know. Signing the contract. Literally had the contract in my hand, signing. And I hear in my voice this deep voice that says, leave now. And it was like dark, like leave now, like you need to leave. And then so I like chills, like oh my ran God. Up. My, I see your little goose pimples.
I'm a goose now. I'm a goose. Honk, honk.
And so I said, okay, I'm signing the contract. I'm like, well, I'm signing the contract. Like I have to stay. But he's like, leave. And then I walk. They're like, we don't need you today. We'll call you in next week for your schedules. Okay. So I leave set, and I'm not even like 5 steps off the studio set. And I get a call from my agent, and he's like, hey, they're actually going to go with someone else. I was like, I just signed the contract. What are you talking about? I just signed the contract. They're like, they just changed their mind. I'm so sorry to waste your time. Like, you'll still get paid for the day. I was like, okay, that's fine. And then I read online that set had to have several priests come because there was dark energy on that set.
You knew.
I got protected. And I don't know if the leave now was the... Oh, my gosh. I have goosebumps, too. I don't know if the leave now was from my spirit guides, like, scaring me, or from the actual darkness. I don't know.
Yeah. I've heard so many stories of scary movies, especially the ones that have to do with possession, mm-hmm. having these issues. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, like... Why is that? Are they manifesting it by reenacting it? Are like, is it opening some sort of portal because they're that reenact? Like, do you have any theories about that? Because I've heard so many stories of sets like this having these issues, or like multiple like really serious injuries or deaths, or like just bad luck, like luck in quotes. Do you have thoughts about that?
I think it's just the frequency you're putting out. Yeah, like, very similar. If you're not cleansing or clearing the space and having a, you'd both know with intention how important things are, you know, mm-hmm. if you're setting an intention before you do anything, and if the set isn't blessed, or if you say out loud, this is art, the frequency can pull in some really darker, lower things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what I would assume is happening.
This might be wrong, but I think Evil Dead was famously a cursed movie.
Really? Oh, yeah. And The Crow? The guy who died with the gun thing. I mean, this is all very dark.
Yeah, it might not have been Evil Dead, but it's one of them from that time.
Another podcast episode, you girls should do that. Like, yeah, looking through all the ones. The
movies.
Yeah, because that's so fascinating.
It's, yeah.
It's almost Halloween time.
I know. Spooky season.
Spooky season.
Spooky. The season of the witch.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I have a big question for you.
Yes.
So you have many experiences with ghosts, with spirit. You see them, you speak to them. In your understanding, what happens? Where do we go? What is next for us after this lifetime? What have you gathered?
Good question.
From what I've gathered from passed away loved ones is you meet your spirit team when you cross over. And also,
from what I've heard several times, is death is not painful, even though that's what everyone's scared of. That mm-hmm. when you transition over, your body, even if it is more of like a tragic or accident type of death, your soul kind of pops out of the body before you feel any pain. You meet with your spirit team, your loved ones that have crossed over come up and like hang out and see you, but you're honestly just a matter of energy, and it's a lot of like very bright, vibrant colors. And you have to have counsel and talk to your spirit guides, talk to the people in your soul group and say, hey, like, what karma did we work out in that lifetime? Was it good? Do we need to figure it out again? Do we want to break this contract? So you kind of are meeting with your soul group and waiting till everyone crosses over. And that could be, you know, 100 years or time doesn't really matter in spirit. Mm-hmm. Nothing is linear. And then you decide, are you going to reincarnate or are you going to be a spirit guide for someone else leading them? And that's, to my understanding, right here where we are right now is a school. We are learning lessons. We are gaining karma. We are meeting people. We all probably were in the same soul group, right? Mm-hmm, of course, that's why we're all here together. Mm-hmm. And you two are definitely soulmates, right? Yeah. So anyway, that's to my understanding. And it also is really like loving and warm and peaceful to think about it that way, because every single time a spirit comes through, they still have their personality. They still, and you know, because we've channeled your mom.
You don't lose like the essence of who you are.
No, and they're guiding you. And not only that, you have angels and spirit guides on your team and so many ascended beings helping you, and you're never alone. So even if you're going through like a really rough time and things feel awful, you're gaining karma and you're learning a lesson. So
that made me feel so warm and fuzzy.
Me too.
When I did a QHHT session where, you know, they take you through like a past life and then have you talk to your like higher self or intuition. In my past life, I experienced myself be very, very old, and I was like laying on my deathbed, and there I was holding on long enough because there were a few more people that were coming to see me and say their goodbyes. Like, I remember being very like, oh, I'm like, I'm staying here for them. Like, I was very like aware, and then I let go, and then as I like, I felt like I was this like little orb, and like all these orbs rushed towards me, and it was almost like like they were like, so they're like, oh, like we're back together. And it was like, I remember that all like these orbs rushing towards me, and it was like my family, my soul group coming, and then we sort of like went together, and then I went to see my spirit guides. It was just like that. And it was
sweet.
And it was such a nice feeling, because it was like, we get really sad about what we're leaving behind, and we get sad that we miss the people that have moved on, but like when they left this space, they were greeted by so much new energy that they missed. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's just so cool, the cycle of life. It can be hard to, you know, be separate from some of those people. Of course. But yeah, we get to just live with them over and over again, and they're here with us. And
it's never goodbye.
Yeah.
Never goodbye.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, too, I hear from passed away loved ones that if they pass away early in your life, or you know, you don't get a lot of time with them on Earth, that it again is a karmic contract. It's karmically they chose to leave your life at that time. And as much as that's so painful still, that it enriches you in that way, and you know that you both agreed on that before you came down.
Yeah.
But does it make it easier with our human brains and our emotions? You know, when you miss someone and you're grieving, of course. And that's why it's difficult when I'm talking to someone that's really grieving someone, and I'm like, they're fine. It's like, I'm not like,
you know, they're having a good time.
Yeah, I'm not trying to dismiss their experience, but I'm like, a lot of times spirit will come through and say like, why aren't they having fun? Like, that is literally one of the biggest messages I get. Like,
yeah,
like, I'm good. I'm great. Like, I had a lady on a TikTok live last week. She was a Taurus, and she came in and she's like, I'm eating good. And I was like, is she a Taurus? They're like, yeah. And I was like, she told you to like have some more good food. And she's like, oh my gosh. Anyway, but I'm telling you, like, spirit is happy. They're content. Of course you miss them. Of course they miss you, but they're with you every second of every day.
Yeah. I think some of the things that I've had an easier time not thinking about this as I've gone deeper into my own grief journey and grown in that, but at the beginning of losing my mom and her being so young, like, I had so much grief about, she wanted to do this and she didn't get to do that, and she wanted to travel here and she didn't get to do that. And as I, you know, now it's been 7 years, and it's like, she's not in spirit thinking about how she didn't get to do that thing. Like, I think when you're in spirit, you sort of understand the wholeness of all experiences, maybe, and whatever, we'll do that in a different life together or whatever. Yeah, and she's probably there. Interesting, you know, like, yeah, she's probably bopping around. Exactly. Like, she's like, bitch, I was at the Eiffel Tower yesterday. But it's funny how we get so attached to, like, they didn't have this human experience, but like, they're in spirit. They can, like, I don't know, they can just be and do and experience, I think, whatever they want.
Love. Mm-hmm.
It's love amazing that. How it's like, there's no quote unquote proof, right, of any of this, but anytime it's laid out the way you laid it out, it just like it feels so correct. Mm-hmm. There's something about it that mm-hmm. feels
you
so
feel just yeah right. like it you, like, oh, you yeah, have that this makes knowing sense.
There's just something about it, and I totally believe in it. I also think any time that I've been around when somebody was getting ready to pass, like a grandpa or somebody else's grandpa, you can feel that family come to get them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's in, like, to the point where you could almost predict, like, oh, it's going to happen in the next 2 days, because, like, the family, like, you can feel it. Mm-hmm. And even if the doctors say it's this amount of time, like, this happened sort of recently for me, I'm like, no, like, his mother's here now. Like, she's ready to take him and head back. And it's just,
yeah,
totally.
It's wild. It's wild.
Yeah. And a lot of people say, like, oh, there's my wife at the edge of my bed. Mm-hmm. No one's here. You know, they say that at the end of their life. So,
you know what was interesting was, because they say, you know, you, like, relive your life at, like, before you die. And when my mom was in the hospital in her, like, final days, a few times, she was, you know, sort of more or less, like, in a coma, sort of at the end. Mm-hmm. But she would kind of mumble back to us if we were talking to her. But there were a couple of times where she would bolt up in bed, and she would be like, one time she got really upset and she said, where's my baby? Where's my baby? I just had my baby. Why am I not holding? And she was reliving, like, having my brother Luke. And we all got in bed with her and we said, we're right here, Mom. We're grown up. You're having a dream. But, like, she was reliving that, and she got upset, like, that she... It was so interesting, and she and we were listening to her mumble some things, and you could just tell she was reliving her life. And she also went through the different stages of grief with realizing what was happening, and we saw her get really angry, and we saw her get really sad, and we saw her accept it. And, like, it was just really interesting to just be so there. And, you know, she was very in tune with herself. She was a very spiritual woman, so maybe that's why it was expressed so clearly. But you know, it was kind of painful because we knew it was the process of her dying, but it was interesting. It was like, wow, she's processing her own grief. We saw the different cycles, and then we also saw her, like, dreaming through her, like, whole life. It was really interesting. It was really cool. But
it's powerful.
Yeah.
That whole experience.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know, it was interesting. Yeah. Death.
Death and dying.
I saw a meme.
You would put a cap like that.
Death. I saw a meme today that was something about how, like, it was someone with, like, a weird expression on their face, like me talking about death when nobody asked or, like, brought it up.
Every day.
You know, it's like, it's something, it's being born and dying are the only two shared human experiences we are guaranteed, right?
It's so true.
It's like everything in the in-between is going to be different, but.
Absolutely. And you know what? We've had many lives. Well, I believe in that.
Yeah,
and
we do too.
I perform past life regression, and before COVID, I did it at people's houses, which is crazy to think about now.
Right.
But, like, why did I do that? But now I have, like, a meditation, but it was crazy because at the beginning of COVID, I put out this meditation, and people were saying they were so scared of COVID, but they would be in the past lives and they'd be like, I died of the plague. So it's like reliving those memories. So anyway, it's interesting that, you know, someone could have a really interesting death experience or go through something, and then in the next life, it's completely different, even though you might be able to feel or sense some of the ways or phobias and fears of what you had in the past life. But I've seen everything. It's just crazy. I've seen so many deaths. I've seen so many lifetimes and different cultures and races and ages, and it's all the same. When they die, they always cross over and they feel the light, and they feel their loved ones step forward and their guides, and then they're back down to Earth school to do it again.
Yeah.
Is that meditation, now I'm intrigued, is that something that people can find on your website?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. They can find it in my shop, and I'll give it to you girls so you could do it yourself and see.
Oh my gosh,
see.
I'm really excited.
Or I could do a past life regression on you as well if you want.
I mean,
okay.
Yeah, I can turn that down.
Some of the most interesting things will happen.
What do you think about, like, you know, obviously there is important information we can glean from our past lives. And like, or what do you think about, or like, what's your advice for when we've brought some of those fears, phobias, traumas into this life? Like, how do we balance being present in this life and also maybe taking care of that? Or like, do you have advice about moving on from those past life things we might have brought with us?
Yeah, that's so difficult because sometimes the phobias are so strong and you have no idea why. If someone's like really scared of the dark or really scared of choking or things like that, and it like consumes you. But for me, it's just a reminder of why you're here and the karma you're here to live. Past lives have a lot to do with karma and karma with relationships. You know, like if you did someone wrong in another life, like, you know, that has to be paid back in some way. So how to, like, I guess, get a grip on who you are and what you're here to do is really just being so aware of your phobias and fears or your life now and saying, okay, this is what I want to do. This is my purpose. I don't, because some people carry that with them, the fear, and it's so like irrelevant. But when you do the past life, I will say it lifts completely. And again, I said aware, like having the awareness of how you died and who played a role in your life actually helps you get rid of that fear completely and move on with your karmic relationships.
Yeah.
Does that make
sometimes
sense?
Sometimes it's just understanding.
Totally. Like I always had a fear since very, very young of very loud popping sounds, which a lot of kids are, but like balloons, anything, but it was a thunder, anything that had a big pop. And I remember saying like very, very young, you know, like it hurts my head when I hear the pop, right? But they were thinking it's like a migraine or something. And then I would like explain like, oh no, when something went toward me really quickly, and then I realized it was guns I was scared of. And then I went in the past life regression and I realized I was shot point blank. Wow. And that's how I passed. And I don't have a fear of guns. I mean, I think guns are terrifying, but I don't have a fear as much about if I hear the pop that I'm going to die. And I also realize, little plot twist, the person who shot me is actually a family member in my life now.
Wow. Oh. Well, yep. They have some explaining to do.
Whole nother day.
Wow. Yeah, we're like, we won't dive into that one today. See us next week with Steffi. new podcast. Surprise? We drill Steffi on all of her stories.
Surprise, we brought them into the studio. We're going to sort this out right here, right
we
now.
We started like a Maury show, but it's like past life beef.
We have to do that.
Wait a minute.
In
we
a
claim
past
that.
Life, you shot Steffi in the head. We have no actual proof of this. We just know.
What do you have to say about that?
Apologize.
I will say, though, it was funny because I was talking, when I found out about the family member, I was talking to one of my girlfriends about it. And we were like at lunch. And I'm like, I can't go back for Thanksgiving because he'll be there. And like, when he killed me in my past life. And my friend Fernando was like, people can literally hear us. And she's like, but she's like, yeah, totally.
Like, she's like, I get it.
Yeah. But it's just like, yeah, well, when he killed me in my past life.
That's like an overheard LA.
Totally. Tweet. Oh, I was literally just thinking that overheard
you
LA.
You should have just submitted that about yourself. is there or was there like weird energy between you and this past life member and the earth family member? And then like once you realized that about your past life, you were like, oh, that makes sense. Like why we maybe didn't get along or something? Was there any... Okay.
It all checks out crazy. And a lot of times what I've learned, I don't know if this is like concise or conclusive, but when you take another person's life, you will have to pay that back. And it comes in two ways. So when you reincarnate, you either have a really difficult go and a long life with tons of illness, tons of bankruptcy and tons of hardships, and you're just kind of a genuinely shitty person, but every single person you love doesn't love you back, or tough karma and people exile you, things like that. So a long life of a miserable life, right, paying back that karma. And usually the people that are denying you or dismissing you are people that you killed. So it's like someone in your close family member or someone you love, that could be the person. Mm-hmm. Or they have a fantastic life, have every single thing they've ever wanted for them, and they get knocked out and die right before they get the thing that they want. So a lot of times people will die, like if they die super early or, you know, I don't know. That's just kind of what spirit has described to me what happened. I don't know if it's true or not.
Yeah.
But that karmically for your past life. So anyway.
Interesting.
Do you have any advice for those who want to be more intuitive, open their psychic gifts? Like, are there some things you might recommend?
There's a long list. But what I will say is, I think one of the best things for intuition is truly grounding yourself and just being present, because your intuition comes from this space. And when you're in your head and when you're not fully here and present, feet on the ground and really looking at each other and listening to each other and being there, it's hard for you to have intuition and spirit trying to speak to you. So I always recommend, you know, grounding yourself in whatever way you can. And I also really love journaling and getting thoughts out on paper. Very important. But I think the number one thing that you have to do if you're stuck up here is find out what in your body is not down here, because all the chakras work, you know, simultaneously together to get you there. So normally if someone comes to me and they say, I can't figure out my intuition, I was like, are you drinking too much coffee? Yeah. Are you grounding or taking salt baths? No. Are you, you know, it's like maybe just take a walk in nature and see without any, you know, earbuds or anything and see what comes to you.
So it's like being present and like taking care of your energy.
Totally. Yeah. Absolutely. And being open.
Yeah.
You know?
I think we like to like overcomplicate these things. We're like, well, I have to, you know, I don't know, I have to do this and this and this and this. And it's like, well, no, just like rest and eat good food and be present and like you'll be in tune with your body. Because it's really about just being in tune with your body, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And also too, everyone has intuitive gifts, so they're different, right? Like everyone has a different way they communicate with spirit or get intuitive hits. So that's another way, is like understanding how you speak to spirit or how they speak to you. And that's also like another journey you can go on. But don't put pressure on yourself to automatically be talking to spirit like day one. I think just really listening to your intuitive hits day by day, just listening to what your body needs to eat, wants to do. Do I take this phone call? You know, who's going to win American Idol? Like you can intuit those things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, make it a game.
Is American Idol still a thing? I don't know.
I think it might be.
So again, if you want to practice your intuitive gifts at the beginning of the season,
specifically American Idol.
Yeah.
I know. I watched The Bachelor, but I always feel like I know in episode one. I'm like, well, there's the winner. Like, it just feels so obvious. I know,
but it's hard too because they're so overly produced. Like, yeah. So, anyway, that's a bad example, but you can intuit anything. Who's going to call me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. There's one more. Steffi is a genius at so many different topics. Like, we could have you on for 10 different episodes to cover each thing. But I want to ask you about astrocartography.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's so interesting. I really don't know anything about it. And just sort of, like, what is it and how is it useful? Because I think it's so interesting, like, the little bit we've chatted about how you use it in your life.
I love it so much. Do you know about astrocartography?
Is this the friend who does astrocartography? Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Can we, how quick is it to whip it up? Is it like a...
Oh, it will take a minute, but we'll do it after. So astrocartography is astrology of place. So it basically takes your natal chart and kind of spreads it out over the globe and tells you what places are best to find love or for your business or places to avoid, things like that. So,
that's so cool.
When I discovered astrocartography, I started traveling only by my lines, which is amazing. And then you kind of check out the places you didn't really like and you're like, ooh. But I was born on a Chiron line, which is actually very, yeah, you're like, I know what it is. It's just all about horrible wounding and tough stuff. So
fun.
Yeah, totally fun. but the Detroit for some other people is like a fantastic line. So you kind of just see, I absolutely love doing astrocartography and planning trips based on that. I think it's such a game changer.
Oh my gosh.
It's so cool.
It's so cool. Is that something else you offer?
Yes.
Because I want you, honestly, Steffi truly at this point, does it all. To just list off, because everyone at this point is going to be obsessed with you and going to want to buy everything. And so what do you offer? We don't have to finish the conversation now, but just list. I want to know personally.
I know.
Juliet's like, put one of everything in the cart.
Yeah, so that is my tab.
Another thing is human design. So human design, I'm a manifesting generator, which means that I'm supposed to do all the things and have a million offerings. So I always thought I was a little bit of a spaz. Until I got a reading, like, no, you're actually supposed to offer all of the things. So first and foremost, my spiritual counseling sessions are actually closed at the moment, which I'm very grateful for. But 2-year wait list ish out. I know. Wow. But I do live mediumship readings on TikTok. I try to do once a month, but I might be doing more depending on how if spirit tells me to get on, I'll get on.
Yeah.
Let's just say that. But I also offer an intuition course for people who want to like really kind of hone their psychic gifts and understand what kind of psychic they are. I also have astrology, regular astrology readings. Like if you want to do a birth chart, I focus mostly on soul purpose. Mm-hmm. And I do some past life stuff there. And I also have a past life regression. Oh my gosh, you guys, you're making me past life regression, which I love. Aura readings and astrocartography readings. And then I also
auras too. Yeah. Sorry, keep going. We're gonna go back to auras.
And then I
my,
also
if you're not watching, my mouth is so like big, happy, like, I just, not only are you so gifted, but you've put together such beautiful ways to help and support people. And
it's all I want to do.
I love this. Okay, so yeah. I interrupted. There's more.
What else do I do? It's all over the place. And I just listen to the call from spirit. And I've had offerings that I've stopped, or maybe like the energy goes down and whatever I'm excited about. And I also have a birth chart course, which is a very intricate course that teaches you how to read a birth chart if you want to be an astrologer yourself.
That's cool. I think that I'm interested in that.
That's
one.
Amazing. That's wait, so okay. Cool. Zach, so, I want to hear about auras.
Yeah, because I know what auras are. I have some questions. Do you know the color of mine? Do you just look at somebody and see it?
Have I not told you yours before?
No, or maybe, no, I don't
do you,
think so.
Okay, hold on. You, do you see...
We're getting too excited.
We're the psychic witch BFFs, but we have like a level 9 psychic witch BFF here. So, okay. So when Sadie walks in the room, do you see that big glow around her? Or do you have to sort of like...
You're like, I want to see it now.
I have to tap in. It takes a little more energy for me to tap in. But what's good is like if you're on a white wall, I can see it like super clear. So when people are giving me aura readings... So when people it's funny because it was a skill I always was excited about it, and then again I just started like telling people about their auras, and at first I was like, am I bullshitting myself, am I really seeing this? And so far about 5 of my clients have gotten aura photographer readings, and every single thing I said has already been confirmed. So I'm like, okay, I'm onto something. But honestly,
I'm literally staring at Julia.
Auras
I'm
can like, change
trying to
everyone
see if
can,
I can
read
see
their
color.
Own Everyone can read their own. It's not like a special thing that I do, by the way.
What if we play a game where we each write down what we think our own aura is and what the other two auras are, and we'll see. Or we don't have to write it down. We can just think it. Yeah. I love it. I'm going to get a piece of
You're paper. A tricolor aura, so you're a little bit more interesting. You have 3 different aura colors. You have mostly 2 with like a little sparkle at the top.
What's the sparkle? Okay, wait. Okay.
Okay, let's... It's time to play a game on Goddess Hangs. Okay, so.
Is Juliet's have green in it?
No.
No. Oh,
I think I just see the green wall behind you.
Well, what's interesting is yours is.
Oh.
Okay, Sadie has green
well, I guess,
with a little.
Sorry, but I guess I'm trying
okay,
to
Okay, so
say.
Sadie, you said has green with a little. Is it like a warm green?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. And there's a little
you're totally.
Happy pink sparkle on top.
Mm-hmm. And then she has another color right here on this side.
Yellow.
No, but her green is actually like a little bit on the yellower side.
That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's the other color?
Okay, it's purple.
That was the next thing I was going to say.
Purple. You're green and purple with a little pink sparkle at top.
And what does that mean?
Oh, okay.
Briefly. You don't have to do the whole thing.
Is yours like an Elsa ice blue?
Yeah, I have blue and indigo.
Okay.
Blue and indigo. Well,
just keywords. You don't have to go
there's,
deep.
There's so, it covers the color of the rainbow. Greens are really innovative in their thinking. They're like Renaissance people. And
visionary.
They're very pragmatic thinkers as well. And they're here to like make a new way. And they're also very connected to their heart. They're natural healers. Like, greens are kind of drawn towards like Reiki healing and witch work, honestly. Purples are here to just have fun. They're charismatic. They're bubbly. That's like your Sag rising, right?
Yes.
Purples are also sometimes a little... It's interesting to have a green that's like really kind of head focused, and purple is a little bit like detached.
That's,
so
yeah, both of those things are really
so, yeah,
amazing.
That's like... So, and purples are empaths and intuitive, very intuitive. And the pink is like really fun, bubbly, effervescent, connected to family, loves to dance and sing and be kind of childlike. And I feel like your pink is actually, it went away for a while and now it's back.
That is so bizarre. Because
it went away for a while.
Like I'm going to start crying because I feel like it's like, but very recently it feels back, like in the last like 2 weeks, maybe like since my birthday, honestly.
Yep. Because when I saw you first, you were, you were only green and purple the first time I saw you.
And I got my little pink sparkle back.
The star at the top of the tree.
Are you ready for yours?
Wait, I want to do yours.
Oh my God. Hell yeah.
I've never done this.
Yeah.
But you're psychic. I felt very like, all blue. I felt all like pure intuition, pure sensitivity. I almost feel like it's like there's not, you have boundaries, but you don't want to fight with people. Like somebody could be like, 2 + 2 = 5. And you're like, that absolutely. And then you move on. Like I felt sort of like this, like water, like sliding away from the problem, not avoiding, but just like, is this worth it? Like very conscious of your energy. Very like healing, you're not a water sign though.
I am, I'm a double Cancer. Yes. Oh, right.
Okay, yeah. You have so much water. Everything is water, 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 water.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
Okay. Have Sadie guess my colors.
You have a very unique aura color, I'll say.
Brown.
No, you're a tricolor and a little bit of something else at the top as well.
Oh.
Which also, by the way, one of your aura colors can pick up easily on other people's colors. So you might be picking up on one of our colors as well.
Well.
We're playing a little guessing game.
Is blue one of them?
Yes. That's her number. One is blue.
Aw.
Okay.
Number one is blue, and it's really heavy over here.
Okay.
Which is your right side. You're actually your masculine side.
Can white be a part of it?
Everyone has white. Okay. Everyone has a white, like glowing white crown. Yeah, yours is actually pretty thick right now. Yours is blue. Yeah,
very
yours
dizzy,
is healthy.
So that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm like up. Woo.
Is there like
It's one is like an interesting color I rarely see on women, but I love for you.
I feel like I see like orange and pink mixed together.
It's a really interesting, I would say more of like a cranberry red.
I was going to say, I know I have red in me.
It's like a Merlot color on your left side. I'm telling you, not often do I see women with red and I freaking love it.
What does that mean, Steffi?
Red is just passionate, excited, like very a leadership.
Is it like ambitious?
Totally ambitious. didn't you say you're an Aries rising?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's like both of your rising signs make sense for your auras. But then at the top, you have lots of purple as well.
Aww.
So you're tricolor.
Girls, they want to have fun.
And it's funny you said green for her. And then you said like you guys almost projected your own aura colors at each other, which was really interesting. and then I think your partner has a little bit of yellow in him because I actually see yellow at the like this side of your
he's
aura.
Very yellow.
Okay. Like insanely. And the blue picks up on aura colors like chameleons. Mm-hmm. So wherever you are, you have such a nice, both of you have really nice balances because you have colors that are both empathic, but also really like put out energy really healthily. Like green and red are known for like having great boundaries, especially red. But the purple in you is very creative. Do you, do you sing or do you draw?
Yeah, I'm a singer-songwriter.
Oh, okay, duh. Okay, yeah. I was like, oh, because purples are, like, really great at... And like, you're an artist, too, aren't you?
Yeah, but purples, yeah, professionally. Yeah,
purples love to sing and to draw and to, like, do any type of art project. Very crafty.
Mm-hmm. It looked like you, like, reached and, like, touched your aura and you're like, oh, a singer. That's what it, like, the motion, it looked like that's what happened where you were like, let me just dip
in there. Well, I heard you sing and you have such a good voice, but seriously, in general, I was like, that definitely lean into that because you're very talented.
Oh, thank you.
But yeah, but the yellow picked up and you actually do really well at not picking up other people's auras.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much.
Oh my gosh. So cool. Everyone go get your aura reading from Steffi.
Yeah, that was fun. I was sitting here waiting. I was like, she's going to say there's a deep red in there. I just know it.
Really pretty red.
But people don't know it. They sense the blue and the softness.
Yep.
And the daintiness.
Yep.
But they don't know what's going on underneath.
Oh, yeah. Reds can change
passion,
the world.
Baby.
And greens can too. It also, as business partners, having both of the purple, like seeing eye to eye, but the red is like very ambitious, like going after what you want. You're kind of the one who like makes the business deals. And then green is the one that's like, let's go over the contracts. Like, it's very interesting the way that happens.
I have the wild ideas and Juliet makes them happen.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Mm-hmm. And the both of your purple is like super creative and super intuitive. And the blue especially, like very much in tune with old soul, but like what you want to know what right now, and intuitively feeling what you both need as partners and in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So cool. Oh, thank you.
So I love reading auras. It's my favorite thing. And you can also see, you know, like I said, like the pink came back. I can also kind of see like auras past. So sometimes if I'm getting having a reading and someone had like a little bit of gray or had a health problem or something like that, I can also pick that up in an aura as well.
You're so cool.
Everyone can read
right?
Auras.
Isn't Steffi the coolest? Now yeah. You guys get why I say Steffi's name every other episode. Like my friend Steffi from Spirit Sis. He said this on her story and I thought it was so interesting.
I'm just happy to share it with people. Like, you're so like loving and gentle and accepting of who I am and all my, like I do 100 things and you're just,
oh my gosh, God, it's no, the you're coolest. A spiritual creatrix.
Well, yes. The love is both ways. I love everything you're both putting out and I just, very healing, incredible energy from both of you.
Thank you. We're just so happy.
That's a love bugs over here.
We got to share you with our amazing community. They're going to be coming.
I'm having a message coming through.
Okay.
You both are going east to Bali, yeah? Have you talked about, aren't you guys going to Bali?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Have you talked about like traveling and going to like the other? Okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think Vietnam and Singapore for sure.
Okay.
Have you thought about that as well?
Not those places.
Maybe this is just for you.
I was like, I'm going to stay a month.
Oh,
Juliet was like, I might stay an extra week or two, but I was like, I'm going to go
Vietnam
forever.
For you.
Vietnam. I have to write this down.
Singapore. We'll have to look at your astrophotography.
I'm really interested.
Yeah.
We will get to look at that.
Yeah, together. Sure.
Oh my
sure.
Gosh, I'm so excited. In great. Return, if you ever need a right. Jingle,
that's how I can help.
Hell yeah.
Spirit sis.
Spirit sis. Here's the psychic scoop of spirit sis. Wow. Yeah. I can help too.
Good.
Sold. You're endorsed. I love it.
Me like, just trying to, like, I'll forget. I always am like, I'll remember everything that I've ever been
yeah,
told.
Actually, I don't remember when I should. Also.
And then I don't. Like, yeah. Before I'm falling
Singapore
asleep.
Singapore, too, I'm getting. Singapore, specifically.
You know, I was like, oh, like, I'll figure out what's over there and I'll go. But I want to go to Thailand, but I hadn't thought of Singapore before. But Vietnam, I've thought about before.
Okay.
It's so beautiful there.
Yeah. I'm just.
I watched this really cool documentary about Vietnam 5 years ago, and I've always wanted to go since then.
There you go. Spirit's telling you to head on over.
Wow. Oh my gosh. I just love hanging out with Steffi.
Me too.
Mutual.
Me too.
We're gonna have a lot more adventures, I feel like.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Like every week we're like, we have a very special guest. Steffi is back.
I'll have no more offerings left after I'm done.
2-year wait list on everything because
oh my gosh. No, I know we have so many people in the Goddess Hangs community who you're about to have a lot of new friends.
Yes.
A lot of new Amazing. Fans, a lot of new happy customers. I can feel it.
Aww. Yes. Tell everyone where they can find you on social media so they can come hang out with you.
Yeah, come hang. So Spirit Sis. Okay, hold on.
Okay, Instagram.
Yeah. Thank you for prompting me. I was like, I've talked about everything fluidly about Spirit. And I'm like, how do I market myself? It's my Instagram is @spirit_sis. Mm-hmm. TikTok, where I'm doing live mediumship readings. So if you want a little splice of life or want to just hold space for other people getting readings, that's just Spirit Sis, no underscore. And then my podcast, you said, is Psychic Scoop Podcast. Mm-hmm. And my website, spiritsis.com.
Oh, I can't wait to visit the website and Ooh. Add everything to my card.
Yes.
Totally recommend the past life regression too. I feel like you
Oh yeah, no, I'm doing
that.
It. Yes. Done deal. Yay. Oh my gosh, everybody in our BFF community, let's all do this past life regression and we'll all have like, you know, a channel. We'll add a channel.
You know what? Let me give you a discount. Just because, oh, okay. Yeah, it's on the, I felt Spirit told me to. Let's do a goddess for a discount on whatever service
Yay!
You want.
Use code goddess, everyone.
Let's
Let's do it.
You better run because those are going to get sold out real quick, I feel like.
Thanks, Spirit.
I know. Thanks, Steffi.
Heck.
So before we hop off, our final, everyone's hurriedly following you on everything, getting so excited. And we like to ask every guest, we ask every guest their best ghost story. We already asked a bunch of those. Oh. But what does being a goddess mean to you? We like to ask everyone that.
Oh, that's such a good question. Oh, I believe being a goddess is your pure authenticity of who you are and not hiding who you are or dimming your light for anybody. Mm. So when I feel like my goddess energy, I am being my most authentic self, but I'm also vibrating like high and I'm calm and I'm happy and I'm not giving a rat's what anyone thinks of me. Fuck and yeah. That's why I think pure authenticity is what it means to be a goddess.
I love that.
Thank you. And is there any last words you want to share with our audience before we go?
Oh gosh.
No pressure.
Make it important.
Right.
Take it away.
Right.
Make this the best thing you said all day.
Yeah, I don't know. There's like literally nothing. Moisturize your face.
Wear SPF.
Yeah, wear SPF. I think wear SPF and moisturize is great.
And drink your water.
Drink your water. Actually, I will say always drink your water and always ground yourself and take a moment today. Put your hand on your heart. Take a deep breath in and just be grateful for who you are and why you're here.
Oh, thank you, Steffi.
Thank you so much.
Yay. I want to swing this thing around. Woo!
We did it.
So fun. Everyone, make sure you're following Steffi at Spirit Sis on TikTok, at Spirit_Sis on Instagram. Check out Psychic Scoop on all of your favorite podcast platforms. And make sure you're following us at Goddess Hangs on TikTok and Instagram, at bizwitch.inc if you're a bizwitch girly like us. I am Sadie Olson.
I'm at Juliet.Piper. We love you so much. Thank you for everything.
And we'll
see you next week.
Bye.